We'll be making some reference to it as we go through our message this morning. Let's pray as we come to the Word of God. Father, this is your Word. We're your people. It's your day. We're in your house. We're here as part of your body. And now, Lord, as we open your Word, we're mindful that we've broken bread and we've shared the cup in remembrance of all that our Lord Jesus has done for us. We've been reminded of what that has enabled us to have, which is a relationship with you. And now, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would touch each of our hearts deep within, Lord, that you would challenge us, encourage us, convict us, Lord, but use your Word to minister to each one of us personally this morning. In Jesus' name, and that you, Father, alone would be glorified. Amen. Okay, now we are doing, for those that are just back or those that are visiting, last week we began a short series. It's going to last 7 weeks over the summer. And we're looking at walking the walk, cultivating integrity. And we began by looking at imitating Jesus, reminded that although others can be helpful to us as an example, or indeed someone we may look up to, ultimately we need to be looking to Jesus for our example. We need to be learning how to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ in our journey of faith and as we seek to cultivate integrity. And we begin today with our second message, and we're looking at cultivating endurance. Now, I confess that as an ex-soldier, I have always tended to think about endurance in the physical sense. It's something in the infantry I spent much of my life engaging with or trying to develop because I lacked it. But this is actually a very narrow view, and the need for endurance runs through every aspect of our being. Yes, physically, certainly, but no less emotionally, spiritually, and perhaps less acknowledged relationally. And what I want us to do this week is to use the character of Job as a touchstone to illustrate endurance in practice. Often in what can only be described as the most trying of circumstances. And in this, we are surely presented with a classic case of a man who was devoted to God and refused to be distracted. We often refer to the patience of Job, but that could equally be the endurance of Job. And I favor endurance. I think that's more in the evidence. Now, there's an oft-repeated preacher's yarn that tells us of the pastor who starts with a full church and he decides to do a verse-by-verse exposition of the book of Job, which he completes 40 years later, and there is only him and the organist left. And it's amazing, actually, the reluctance of people to look at Job. And I think that is a serious mistake on our part. I would certainly commend Job to you as a personal study. Granted, I would probably not take on a verse-by-verse exposition of it. But Job is a challenging book, and that's why I think people fear it. Because in Job, we're told all those things that we don't want to hear. We just listened in the opening chapter to that terrible series of disasters that befell this man. And then it gets worse. His friends join in, and they're well-meaning, and you know they're trying to give him advice, and everybody's laying it down on top of Job. And then God, at the end of it all, I love that bit where God talks to Job about creation and sort of says to him, you know, where were you when I flung stars into space and created the mountains, you know? And I sit and I go, oops. You know, we love God. We talk about the love of God, and that's right. But in this story, of course, God says, hold on, I am God, end off. And that's sobering that we have to suddenly sit up and pay attention. It's stripped of all the niceties. God is God. And yet, of course, God is faithful. So I think we can learn a lot from the endurance of Job. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to look briefly at Job in terms of three relationship areas. And I want to look at him emotionally in terms of his endurance. And then thirdly, spiritually. And in so doing, my prayer really is that God will speak into our lives, because I believe each and every one of us can be challenged and yet encouraged and built up by this wonderful story of Job. But as we begin, let me ask you, give you a short survey. And just be honest with yourself. We're not asking you to raise hands. But when it comes to endurance, we all perform in different ways. And I wonder which one would fit you. Are you a sprinter who commits quickly, but also finishes quickly and doesn't like things that go on? Are you a hurdler who skips over the hard parts, but keeps on running? Are you a marathon runner who paces themselves for the long haul? Are you a backpacker who hikes long distances but carries a lot of stuff with you when you do it? Are you an observer who never commits if at all possible? And this one has to be for Americans, Alan. Are you a baseball player who heads the dugout every time it rains? Just some thoughts on what we are like individually as we begin this morning. Because endurance, I've discovered from my military days, is about staying the course, often in a quiet, determined manner. In a group setting, it's about being only as strong as your weakest member. There's really nothing quite like it in terms of fostering confidence. Knowing that if humanly possible, those around you will not let you down or indeed leave you behind. And surely those principles should apply to the church as well. Perhaps more so, because in the army we were dependent on human endurance. We were dependent on each other. But in the church, we're not. We have God's promises. We have God's Spirit indwelling us. We have so much more that can equip us for a life marked by endurance rather than a soldier in heavy training for it. But let's begin by considering Job's relational endurance. Relationships, I feel, in a very real sense, define us. They express who we are. They show how we live and how our faith actually manifests itself day to day in terms of its substance, in terms of its purpose. And Job, as I've already indicated, provides us with some challenging examples. We see his relationship with his children, firstly. Probably, for those of us who are parents, the most important relationships that many of us will have. And I can say this as a father of adult children. Surely it is something of a roller coaster for many parents, from the wonder of birth to to the terrible twos from starting school, moving up to high school, those wonderful teenage years when many parents feel their children have been alien possessed, on to starting work or uni, finding the partner for life. It's been said that there will be times that we don't like our children, but we will always love them. I think that's a very telling comment. Good parenting skills, bonding, wisdom, etc., are all important, but I believe what a parent needs most is relational endurance with our kids. Allowing our children to find their own way in life, allowing them to express themselves, allowing them to make mistakes, allowing them to make their own choices, yet always loving them and always being there for them and always blessing them. And our children need to know that. For Christian parents, of course, our greatest concern is that they come to know Christ, if we can help it and give them a shove, if possible, at the earliest of age. In Job, we see a wonderful quiet endurance in his children's spiritual well-being. And he certainly had his hands full. He had 10 of them. And we're told his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite the three sisters to eat and drink with them. Young people liked to party. And this would have been perfectly normal. But notice what Job does. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them. He would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." And thus Job did continually. He had a prayerful concern for his children's well-being. And you know, many parents can't influence their children's faith at certain points in their life the way they might like to. But the one thing we can always do is pray for them and love them and bring them before the Lord, just as Job did. And I wonder, are we faithful in enduring love and prayer for our children? Are we concerned for their spiritual well-being? As Christians, we have so much more available to us in the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and our brothers and sisters in Christ than people in the world have. And we need to remember that. But then, secondly, relationally, we have Job's wife. Or we could suggest our other partner in this situation. I'm not suggesting man on man, but ladies, pay attention as well, because this could equally apply to your husband. Which of us that is married would not acknowledge that marriage requires endurance? If it's to last, it requires endurance. If it is to be a healthy relationship, it requires endurance. It requires that willingness to forgive, to understand, to love, to make allowance for. And for us as Christians, to have a marriage that honors God. And the truth is, the sad truth is, walking away has become too easy today. And often happens at the first sign of difficulty. The idea of stickability in difficulties of marriage is almost frowned upon. Now, we will all have moments when we fail, like Job's wife did. I think we can call that a fail. When the wrong words come out of the mouth because you haven't thought about them before you said them. Am I the only husband that says something and before the word has left my lips, I'm regretting saying it? words that can destroy rather than build up. But in Job, we see his response. It's wonderful. Even with a strong rebuke. I get rebuked for calling my wife silly at times. I'm not allowed to do that. But Job puts it in a lovely framework here. He reminds his dear wife of God's blessing. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity?" This is what we're looking for. "Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. What a wonderful challenge to us this morning. How many of us would have responded with such grace if our wife had said such a thing to us? See, the Bible describes marriage as two becoming one, and that's intimate, it's complete, and it's part of God's plan and purpose. It's a sad reality today, and on occasion a necessity because of abuse, that relationships do break down. But I believe that more marriages would survive and flourish and honor God if both parties cultivated endurance. And then we have a relationship with friends. Now, I'm sure the term acquaintances has become confused with friends. I'm absolutely staggered at the number of friends some people have on Facebook. I confess I've probably got about 500. And it's calling them friends is seriously exaggerating it. Acquaintances. My number of real friends, I could count in tens, if I'm honest. In Job's case, we're introduced to three of his friends. And a little beyond our reading in chapter 2, verse 11 following. And these appear to be friends rather than acquaintances. When they hear of his situation, they arrange to meet up. And they seem to be coming from afar, from different areas. And they want to show him sympathy and they want to comfort him. And when they see him, they weep and they mourn and they pray for him. And then they do a wonderful thing. They sit quietly for 7 days with him, saying nothing. Do you know, in terms of friendship, friends can't just be there. And you know, so often we need someone just to be there. We don't want a whole shedload of advice. We don't want them talking into our situation immediately. We just want to know there's somebody there who cares. And I think this is very, very wise. And it's, you know, in all situations, you know, when someone has a problem, it's just good to be with them. Now, we all know how the story progresses. And we need to realize that sometimes our intent, our good intent, can get in the way of God working in someone. We have this great debate. Job's friends appear to be giving well-intended advice. Some might suggest good advice when you sit down and look at bits of it. But they clearly care for Job. And one of the things is in this friendship is there's honesty. They don't pull their punches. So what I don't want as a friend is someone who's afraid to tell me the truth. I want friends in my walk with God who will not be afraid to graciously and lovingly rebuke me and to encourage me and to support me. But we do need to be mindful, as I've already said. Be careful you don't jump in with your comfort and advice and hinder God actually dealing with someone. Because even though Job's friends made what you might assess as a reasonable, good approach, they clearly got it wrong. But are we good friends to each other? Are we friends to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we love each other in that way? And then finally, there's the relationship with God. And I believe that's key to everything else. But we're going to look at that in the last two headings. So let's now turn to Job's emotional endurance. Emotions are a strange thing. Emotions are a very difficult thing to deal with under any circumstances. As a soldier, I find this, particularly when you find yourself in the middle of a riot or in the middle of two opposing forces who simply want to kill each other, and then because you want to stop them killing each other, they decide to kill you in lieu of it. It's a really difficult situation to get into. And good, stable emotional endurance is so important. You know, what our children, what our wives, what our husbands don't need is somebody who's on an emotional roller coaster. They're up one minute and they're down the next minute and we don't know whether we're coming or whether we're going. And I would suggest that that's particularly important in relation to our children. Our children need consistency in relationship that is established with godly endurance. Now, the agony and pain Job felt is laid out graphically for us. And yet, through it all, we see such a sense of a powerful determination to endure. Now, this is sobering. You know, so many of us, I see Christians who the minute a partner dies or the minute a child dies or the minute they lose their job, suddenly they fall apart completely. God isn't God anymore simply because their circumstances have changed. But perhaps for Job, and we need to understand this, the answer to his enduring is found towards the very end of the book, over in chapter 42 and verse 2. And listen to these words. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. We talk lightly of the sovereignty of God sometimes. But here's the truth. I know that you can do all things. Our God is capable of all things. And that no purpose of his can be thwarted. I'm not pretending that's an easy place to get to. And it certainly wasn't easy for Job. But ultimately, it's where we all need to get. An understanding that God is sovereign. That God is in control, even when everything else literally appears to go belly up. You know, as Gloria was doing that reading, even though I'd read it several times in advance, as she was reading, I was just struck by how he got hit by one wave after another wave after another wave after another wave, each of which would have been an emotional tsunami for me. I couldn't help, as I was studying this, to be reminded of the words of Paul to the Romans in 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then in verse 37, knowing all these things, listen, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, neither powers nor heights nor depths, nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is a truth that we can endure upon. And our ability to endure emotionally needs to be established on that truth that Paul gives the Romans. But then finally, let's consider Job's spiritual endurance. I confess that each time I read Job, his spiritual endurance and faithfulness, they just blow me away. I can't take it in. It's too much for me. When I read them, all my excuses, my buts, Debbie tells me that every time I say but, there's an excuse coming. Isn't it terrible the way your wife knows you eventually? All my woe is me, they just disintegrate in my heart when I read Job. My only crumb of comfort in reading Job is this. God chose Job and God equipped Job. When Job was selected and offered by God to Satan, God knew that he was going to be there for Job and that he was going to sustain Job and he was going to keep Job. And so my hope is that if I get into any Jobian situations, that God will likewise equip and maintain me. Now, we could spend forever in this, but we're on a summer series and we promise to be brief. So let me just give you a wee thread. If you open your Bibles at Job, let me just read you through it. Let's start in chapter 1 and verse 20. It's been read to us and Gordon highlighted it in the kids' time. Now, you've got those four waves that I spoke about happening to Job. And then Job arose, tore his robes and shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshipped. That is awesome. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Spiritual endurance. And then if you flick over to chapter 19 and verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. Job knows that despite the fact that this flesh will rot away, yet in his flesh, resurrection power implied here in possibly the earliest book of the Bible. I shall see God for myself. That's a promise to each one here this morning that knows Christ. And this was so powerful that Job says, my very heart within me faints at the thought of seeing God in my flesh. And then go over to 27 and verse 6. Okay, things have got pretty rough by the time he gets to chapter 27. And then he says this. I will not put away my integrity from me. I will hold fast my righteousness and not let it go. Today, people see integrity as something to be played with, something to blow hot and cold over, something to be circumstantial, something that can be excused. And Job says, I will not put away my integrity. And then finally, if you go over to 42, verse 5. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, after everything he's been through, therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, if anybody could be justified in saying, come on, Lord, haven't I done well? You would have to give that gong to Job. And yet when all's said and done, when his friends have made all their comments, when Job has made all his replies, when God has rebuked everybody and sundry, and he says, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Why? My eyes see you. We see the holiness of God. We see the love of God expressed in the body and person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Job can't do anything else but repent and despise himself. That's not in a negative sense. It's acknowledging here is God in all his holiness. Woe is me. David's rock of ages was Job's rock. And you know, that same rock is our rock of ages. It's that rock in which we can hide ourselves, in which we can build and grow in our endurance. So what are we to say for all this today? Well, I think personally, when I look at Job, I do it in total wonder. How could he react like this? How could he endure such trials? The truth is, Job's God is our God. Indeed, we have a big plus because we have Christ. And we have the Word of God and we have the Spirit of God to encourage us. Maybe in terms of application, if we apply these three aspects in reverse order, the rest will fall into place. Spiritually, a faith that is built to endure no matter what is thrown at it will enable and equip us to cultivate emotional endurance, which in turn will bring us to a position of effective relational endurance in every area of our lives, and regardless of circumstances, regardless of potential stumbling blocks, or regardless of inbuilt hazards. Let me add one important thing here. We don't do this in our own strength, but in God's strength. When I said to you at the start, God had equipped Job, and God will equip you and I. And in the church, we are not alone. We need to be there for each other. I spoke last week about us being called to carry our cross. One of the things which always encourages me is that in his humanity and physical weakness, having been beaten almost to death, even our Lord Jesus needed help to carry his cross. Luke 23:26. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and they led on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. We have friends and each other to help us carry our cross. Do you know, watching a group of soldiers on an endurance march is a wonderful example of what the church should be like. As they redistribute their kit, as one person gets tired to share the load, as they share water to sustain each other and keep each other going, as at times they literally grab each other by the scruff of the neck. I have been both grabbed and grabbed by many a friend and grabbed many a friend to finish something. And you have them and you're just pulling them literally along behind you. Endurance, built to last. If integrity comes from deep within, one of its closest allies, guys, has to be endurance, which is the stuff of the soul. Redeemed by Christ, enabled by the Spirit, fed by the Word of God. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our God, we think of Job this morning, Lord, and I don't know, Lord, I'm challenged. I'm so humbled by this man. And yet, Lord, my encouragement is that you called this man, you offered this man to Satan because of your confidence in him. And Lord, I just pray for each one of us. I pray for all our relationships, for endurance. I pray for us emotionally, Lord, that you would help us to be people who endure emotionally and don't give up. I pray for us spiritually, Lord, in particular as individuals and as a church, that you would minister to us, Lord, and bind us together and keep us strong, Lord. Give us endurance that we may walk the walk, that we will not be constantly discouraged, but we will keep our eyes fixed in Jesus. Amen. I said last week I wanted to give you a verse on our series. Let me give you this week's verse then. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Amen.